Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. I want to look at the first six verses, with our emphasis being on verses 3, 4, and 5. Matthew chapter 7. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And what beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Father, we thank you, God, for the sweet spirit we have here today. Lord, we're asking now that you just continue on with us, Lord, to give me an anointing from heaven today to be able to preach on your word. Lord, let the words just come from my mouth today. Lord, drop from your lips. And God, may you be glorified in it. Jesus, help us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. This past week I was sitting at a restaurant on my lunch break there on Market Square. I get an hour for lunch, and I was sitting there. I usually don't go out much, but I was sitting there in a restaurant eating by myself, and right behind me was a table that had two women sitting there, and they were talking, and I couldn't help but overhear them. I wasn't trying to. They were just talking really loud, and there was some music playing, and it's so hard to hear, but they were talking really loud. And one of the women started talking about this other lady that both of them apparently worked with. And she said, "I wouldn't trust her with anything. All she ever does is talk about people." And then they spent the next 30 minutes talking about people that they work with. I mean, just on and on and on. And as they were walking by my table, I was so tempted to yell out, "Matthew 7:3," but I didn't. I couldn't help but think about that conversation and how really, if we all think about it, we find ourselves so guilty of doing the same thing. I mean, so easily we can find ourselves being this judge and talking about people with them not around. You know, in conversation, we may think it's harmless. But take, for instance, just me sitting there listening to these women. They didn't know that I didn't know who they were talking about. I might have known that person or those people they were speaking of or where they worked. I didn't, but I could have. So you never know who may be listening to you, but we know that the Lord always listens to us. And no matter who we're talking about, if we're doing it in a bad way, a harmful way, we're speaking against people, then we don't need to be doing that. Well, in our opening text, we read the final part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. We did a 26-week study on his sermon not too long ago, about 2 years ago. And what a wonderful study it was. And we learned from that Jesus has been teaching the Jews about what it's going to be like in his coming kingdom and how people that live in his kingdom will act and what they're to do. Well, from these teachings that Jesus is giving to the Jews, we take our Christian values from as well. And so when the Lord is talking to them about how they should be living their lives and what they are to do and not to do, we certainly should read that and take that to our heart. As a Christian, he's talking to us as well. And so as the Lord's wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount, he starts teaching. This is the last chapter of it. And he starts teaching about proper judgment of others. And yes, we are to judge in the proper way. But he gives this very funny illustration there about two different men. And he's wrapping it up, and look at the very first of our verses there, the first two verses. And he's talking about judging and the proper way to judge. And, of course, the sinner's favorite verse to quote there in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. That's the sinner's favorite quote, by the way. And they look at the church people and say, the Bible says, and they can quote the scripture. And they know these verses. But starting there in verse 3, we find him directing his attention to the individual believer. And he gives a very funny illustration here of these two men. And he draws a mental picture of one man pointing out the fault of another man. And while he has a much bigger fault in his life, he's focusing upon the other man's tiny little faults. And he compares it, and he uses these words, a mote and a beam. Now, just so we're clear on what a mote and a beam is, a mote is a dry stalk or twig, and a beam is a stick of timber. In other words, it's like comparing a toothpick to a two-by-four. What are you doing up here? I'm just kidding. I told him to come up here. So my brother here, well, actually my son, but we're going to call him my brother, and I'm going to illustrate to you what he's talking about. He has a tiny little speck there in his eye there, a mote, and I have a beam in my eye. This is the comparison the Lord's trying to make. The Lord has a sense of humor now. Don't think he didn't. What about that camel trying to get through an eye of a needle? But here we've got a mote and a beam. Just a little speck, a toothpick and a two-by-four. And so I am going to help out my brother here. Brother, I don't know how you're even getting around with that thing in your eye. I think I need to help you out with that. You've got a problem in your life. And I'm going to help you, you know? And so come here and let me help you with that problem you've got. Think about it for a minute. Now, that sounds like a funny illustration, but that's what the Lord's trying to show us. The person that has got this huge problem in their life, and yet what are they doing? They're going around examining everybody else's problem, no matter how big or small it is. They're a little tiny thing. And so we're always looking at other people and trying to find the fault in those other people. And so if their fault is nothing except for this little toothpick right here, oh, we want to examine that thing. Boy, you never believe what's in your life. That's going to mess you up. You need to get that out of your life. You've got big problems, and I'm here to tell you how to solve them. But yet here we are trying to help them, and we're walking around like this, you know, because we don't see this. We're blind to this. We're blind to it. But boy, we sure can see this other thing. It just stands out because it's in somebody else. Well, the Lord here, he's given this illustration. And I want you to pay particular attention to that little word that he uses in verse 3. He says, why? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Jesus is bringing this to our attention and asking, why do you do that? What is it inside of you that causes you to want to focus on everybody else's sin, but yet you don't want to look at your own sin? Why is it you do that? What's causing you to want to do this? And sadly, it'd be hard for us to say exactly why we do these things. I can name you off a list of things. How about jealousy, pride, anger, bitterness, selfishness? Shall I continue? And so all of these things, all these problems we have in our lives and our insecurities, by the way, we tend to focus on everybody else's problem and ignore our own. Have you ever known these people to have the perfect kids? You ever known these people that got the perfect kids? And I mean, they're meaner than the devil. They take them to somebody's house and let them out, and that kid goes crazy. I had a nephew like that. They'd take him over our house, and he would totally destroy the place. I mean, he would throw things in the toilet and flush them and climb the gates and put stuff down in the vents. And I mean, he was just a terror. But he was a little angel when mom and dad showed up. You know? And so everybody talks about, well, not my child. You know, he's perfect. But boy, your kid, he's the devil. Well, it's kind of the same thing. We don't see the fault in our own place, our own life. But boy, I can sure show you your problem. And I could stand here right now and point it to you and every one of you, and I can say you've got a problem, but look what's happening when I do that. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 fingers pointing back at me. And so that's why I called the message this morning, my I-beam problem. It's my I-beam problem. And if you'll be honest with yourself today, it's your I-beam problem too. We all have them, an I-beam problem. Now, the truth is, when we take it upon ourselves to look at problems in other people's lives, we're acting upon our own pride. And as soon as you look outside of your own problems and cross over into their problems, you've just crossed over into the pride zone. You've crossed over into the pride zone. And when we cross over into the pride zone, we begin scrutinizing everybody's problems, every sin, and we tend to make ourselves both jury, judge, and executioner. That's what we do. We look at your problem. I'm going to judge you for it. I'm also going to be the jury that finds you guilty. And then I'm going to find a way to punish you. That's what we do, it all three. And maybe you're sitting here thinking this morning, well, I don't know who he's talking about. I'm not like that. You know what I want to say? Liar. You liar. You big liar. I'm telling you right now, friends, every single one of us are guilty of doing the same thing, scrutinizing everybody else and ignoring our own problems. Listen, we all do it. It's much easier to find those problems in other people than it is ourselves. You could lock me in a room by myself with nobody else around, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start looking around that room and finding a reason to judge somebody. Whoever painted that ceiling must have been drunk. Whoever nailed that piece of paneling up right there had to have been out of their mind. I mean, I could sit there all day long and judge people, and I'm not even in the room. And so we're all are guilty of that. We have an I-beam problem. It's my problem, and it's your problem. And listen, Jesus asks us the question, why? Why do you do that? And then he says, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Well, he knows us, don't he? He knows us inside and out. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Hey, if he can count the hairs on my head, he knows, sure, my I-beam problem. And he knows yours too. We all have it. Well, he asks, why do you considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Why do we not see our own problems? Why do we overlook them or downplay them when it's something we do? And we do. We downplay them. Even if we do happen to see the problem in our life, we downplay it. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, yeah, I do this, but it's really not as bad. It's not as bad as him. You heard what he did now, don't you? I mean, that's what we do. We deflect. If something comes up in our life, some problem in our life, we deflect to somebody else. We want to make our comparison with other people. Well, I'm much better than him. When you go witness to somebody and you start asking them if they're being saved or not, and they say, well, I've lived a good life. I've done a lot of good things. And I'm certainly much better than my neighbor is. And they'll start comparing themselves with other people. But that's where we mess up. We're not to compare ourselves with other people. Our measuring stick is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you know what happens? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our measuring stick. This is us. We don't measure up to this at all. You may be very tall above somebody else, your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, your family member. You may be much better than them, not do as many bad things as they do, but you're nowhere near Christ. And so our measuring stick is Christ. Now, having said that, I know you've been under my preaching long enough to know that I believe this teaching that people are doing today, that there's no big or little sin, is not true. There are big sins and there are little sins. Now, listen to me. Don't drive me out of here. All sin leads to death. The Bible's very clear that. All sin deserves punishment and death. But there are sins that are bigger than other sins. That's why the Bible calls some sins an abomination and some sins are not. That's why the Bible shows us that there are greater punishments for some sins than there are others. So there is a balancing scale there. There are big and little sins out there, even though they all lead to death. They're all sins, but they are big and little sins.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bayley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.